Hey, good morning, everybody. What a special week this has been. Certainly in our household, we had two graduates, one graduating from junior high, moving into high school, and one graduating high school, moving into college. And so it was awesome to be able to celebrate our high school graduates up here and celebrate just everybody. What a different year. What a different year. But praying for the class of 2020. And hopefully, while there were some things that did not go as planned, hopefully our hearts were, and I know teachers' hearts were, and this whole community's hearts were, to communicate to you how much we love you, and hopefully we can have made this a special week for you. So we love you, we're proud of you, happy graduation, all of you. Well, we continue our series, Unfazed, talking about these eight competencies that we have used as kind of the backdrop of all that we are about as a church in discipling our people, in discipling the men and women of this church to prepare them to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, one day. And so we've talked about these eight competencies. We decided to do a series that would just bring about how practical these competencies are in every generation, at any season of life. And so we're now looking at a fourth competency. It's called living missionally everywhere. Living missionally everywhere. And in the past, we've done full series on this. We've looked at all different stories from Scripture. Jesus' example constantly is the model for us. We've even used the model of being a person of peace. And we talked about being somebody who is likable, liking people, and then listening to people, and then leveraging for people, and using that as a very simple model. Everywhere you go, you can be a person of peace. And there's probably never been a season like there is right now. Well, there has been seasons in the past. We are in a season right now where a person of peace is so needed. To be a person of peace is so critical everywhere we go and every setting we step into. I'd like you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 19. The last time we went through a series on living missionally, this story was in that. I'm going to take this same story, but look at it from a little different lens, even in light of where we're at and what's going on today. But living missionally, Jesus is always the best example of what it means to live missionally everywhere. Because everywhere Jesus went, his entire life, the whole time he was ministering, he had a mission in mind. Every place that he went, it never changed. He never lost it, and he never lost focus. Jesus was living on mission. The idea of being on mission means to be sent, being sent out, being sent to do or to accomplish or to communicate a message, being sent. And that's what we're talking about today. And in Luke chapter 19, we pick it up and we're going to see in this passage, Jesus still on mission, actually on his way to Jerusalem, preparing to go to the cross, preparing to give his life and then to rise again. But in that process, passing through Jerusalem again, we see an individual, a person who was, for a lot of reasons, a little bit of an outcast from culture, a bit of a dissenter from certain aspects of society, and their life would certainly be one that is classified as a shroud of hostility, at least between this person and the people around him. And we're going to look at that, how Jesus stepped into the moment and how he brought an end to hostility between this person and their relationship with God by bringing them into relationship with God. And then ended the hostility and relationship with the people around him as he modeled for us how to build a bridge of relationship and bring people together. And really, that is a huge part of what living missionally is. And so 3 points we're going to see. Remember the mission. Remember the mission. If you and I are going to live missionally, we have to remember what the mission is and what it's not. Remember the mission. Remove the hostility. Removing hostility between people people's relationship with God as well. Removing hostility is a way of living missionally. And then third, reconciling the relationship. Bringing people back together. It comes after you remove hostility, and then being a bridge that brings people together. Building relationship is the core of the gospel. Reconciling people together and with God is the core of the gospel and why Jesus came. And we'll be able to see that pretty clearly right here in Luke chapter 19. So let me read through these, and then we'll take them one at a time. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowds, they all grumbled. "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods, I give it to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. See, Jesus never lost the mission. He never forgot. Let's look first. Remember the mission. Remember the mission. It says he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. This mission, Jesus was passing through. Every place Jesus was passing through, he had in his mind the mission. People were seeking to know who God was. Connecting people to who God was the mission of Jesus everywhere he went, to seek and to save the lost. I love that it says passing through, because the word passing, the idea of passing through, puts it also right in front of us when we ask the question, where are you passing through today? Well, I'm passing through the grocery store, I'm passing through my cul-de-sac, I'm passing through the restaurant, I'm passing through the school, I'm passing through work. Every place we're passing through, it reminds us that we're on mission. You know, something happens to every one of us when we actually go on a missions trip. We call them missions trips. It means we're sent out to go somewhere, whether it's to go build a house somewhere, or to go minister or share the love of Jesus at an orphanage, or we go to plant a church in another country, or we go to bring a message of the gospel and do a crusade somewhere. Wherever it is we go, here's what happens. The moment we leave for that mission, we recognize every place we're passing through isn't home. Every place I'm passing through, I'm actually here because I was sent here. I was sent here with a message. I was sent here to do something. I was sent here. And that idea of passing through is something that is supposed to be core to the heart of a disciple. That this is not our home. That we are simply passing through. In this time, we have a home. We have a destination. It's a heavenly home. In fact, it is what has motivated and been the front passion of every man and woman who has made a difference for God in their lifetime. In fact, even the writer of Hebrews, in his great list, the Hall of Faith, talks about it in verse 13. And he says, listen, all of these people, all of their hopes weren't realized in this life. They recognized that they were aliens and strangers, that they were passing through, that this wasn't their homeland. If it was, they could just go back to wherever their homeland was. But they were instead looking forward to a city whose foundations were made by God, a place that had been prepared for them. they were passing through. This is core to you and I living as disciples of Jesus, this perspective of the mission that I'm passing through, and that people in my time, everywhere I go, I'm on mission to bring people together into relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The old purpose of my life, the old pursuits of my life have passed away. When I come into a relationship with Christ, who I am is redefined. I'm now a missionary everywhere I go. And the old pursuits and the old things that made sense or were supposed to be what my life was about, all of that's passed away. New stuff has come. And here's what he says. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry. You know what that ministry is? It says it's the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, to you and to me, the message of reconciliation. When I come into relationship with Christ, I come to follow him. I step into his mission, a mission of reconciling people to him. Join the movement. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, join the movement. It's the movement of reconciliation. Our ministry is reconciling people to God and people to each other. And I'm telling you that in advance because that's the picture of what's happening here. He didn't know who Jesus was. Zacchaeus didn't know him, but he wanted to know who this man was, who this God man was. He'd heard the stories. And Jesus, of course, Jesus wanted him to know who he was. And so here's what happens. In order for them to be reconciled, something had to change. The distance between them, that gap had to be closed. And the hostilities that were remaining needed to be addressed. So Jesus came and removed those hostilities. It says this. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree, verse 4. For he was about to pass by that way, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Hostilities were very present in this story. Some things you just miss if you just go by it really fast, but the hostilities in the story were very real. In Jesus' time, it says he was a tax collector and he was very rich. And in that time, for a Jewish person, the tax collectors were seen as the biggest cultural traitors ever. They were traitors because they were serving the Roman government. Not only were they serving the Roman government, they were serving them in a way that really bothered everybody. They were taking money from us and giving it to them, paying taxes. They were the collectors of the taxes. So politically, there was a lot of political hostility here. Zacchaeus was not loved in his community. But Zacchaeus, not only was there this political hostility, there was economic hostility here in the story. Because Zacchaeus was very, very wealthy. He was rich. He had a lot of resource. And you can imagine the people didn't have all this resource. We don't know Zacchaeus' background, but he comes from money and is in league with the government collecting taxes. So there's this economic hostility there in this divide, this gap between common everyday folks and Zacchaeus and the way he was living. And they hated him for it. Not only that, it says he was a tax collector. So what we have come to know in researching tax collectors at that time is tax collectors often took far more taxes than they were supposed to. And they used that to line their own pockets. In fact, when he stands up later and says, and if I've defrauded anybody, I pay it back fourfold, is because he had stolen from the people. So not only was there political hostility, social hostility because of the economic situation, But there was personal hostility because he had personally offended these people from this community. He had stolen from them. He had stolen from them. All of these hostilities, this is all very real. And not only that, there was also, on top of it all, religious hostilities. The religious leaders, those who were watching, trying to live a good, godly Jewish life, saw Zacchaeus as somebody who did not follow the rules. He wasn't following the law. He wasn't trying to abide by the good religious rules. In fact, he was living way outside those rules. His lifestyle was very secular. He didn't care about following all the rules. And so there was tremendous hostility in this scene that you've got to see. Not that different than the kind of hostility you and I are observing and feeling right now. All in the news, how much political hostility do you hear? All in the news, how much economic hostility do you hear between the wealthy and the poor? All in the news, how much personal offense, how much hostility is there through offense? The anger that's rising up throughout our country. For lots of different things, hostility. And do you know we have a ministry? We have a ministry of reconciliation. But in order to reconcile, and I know many of you have wondered, what do I do in the midst of all of this? Where's my place as a follower of Jesus? Where do I stand? Where do I step into this conversation or this conversation or this conversation? And what you've got to understand, living missionally everywhere, this lens that our role is stepping into scenes or places or conversations for a purpose. And it's not the purpose of being the right one or getting our agenda across or getting everybody to think like we do. Our purpose is to step into moments and seasons where there is hostility and anger and step into it and do what? Help remove the hostility. Help speak peace to the divide between people. And anything we do or anything we say or the way we step into things, if we're adding hostility to the hostility, hostility only begets more hostility. It doesn't bring peace. Jesus began his opening sermon, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, because they'll be called sons and daughters of God. You and I, in this season and in this missional lifestyle, become people who step into hostile, angry moments in our culture and life and become a voice that removes hostility, doesn't add fuel to a fire, but actually begins to put a fire out. I know sometimes you and I will get angry. We'll get angry about lots of things. We get angry about injustice. We get angry about things that are wrong in the world. We get angry about culture and the way that it calls wrong right and all of those things. And you better believe it, this is what was happening in this scene. Angry about people who believe differently than you do on stuff. Angry about the other political parties out there. Angry about agendas being spoken. We can get angry about a whole lot of things, but what we have to always remember is that our anger rarely ever will reflect the heart of God. Jesus stepped into a very angry moment, and he reflected and demonstrated what the heart of God was. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I need to go to your house today. I'm not angry with you, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to find you. That's why I'm passing through. I'm not angry with the crowds. I understand. But I'm going to show them how you build bridges instead of destroy them." Jesus stepped into a moment like that. Our anger, yours and mine, usually reflects more like the disciples did earlier in Luke chapter 9, when they're just kind of learning who who Jesus is, and they see people reject Jesus, and so they say, hey, let's call down fire from heaven and just consume them all. And Jesus says, listen, you don't even know what spirit you're of. That is not the heart of God. But that's sometimes my heart. That's sometimes our heart. We could get angry about stuff. He said, that's not the kingdom of God. That's us in our flesh getting mad for God or offended at people or offended at the world. And no wonder why so many people in the world think God is so mad at them. And what they lose is the mission, that God is on a mission to seek and to save the lost. He's not here because he's mad at the world. He's here to save the world from all this stuff that's going on around them and to bring them to his ideal home, to heaven, where things will be the way that we're all crying out for them to be. Just, full of love and grace and mercy. And he showed us the way. If our anger or our indignation burns bridges and distances us from a compassionate desire to build a bridge of relationship, then I'm telling you right now, it's not that righteous indignation that we think it is. It is maybe a religious indignation. Mostly, it's a fleshly, human, man-type indignation, and it won't produce the fruit that we hope for. It'll take us off mission instead of keep us on mission. Ephesians chapter 4 says, be angry and do not sin. There are things that can make us angry that it's okay to be angry about. But it says, be angry and do not sin. Okay, so then what do? It says, don't even let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil an opportunity. Give him a foothold. So there are things we might get fired up about, stuff maybe even in our homes where we go a little sideways with our kids or with our wife and they did something or we got offended or something happened and we feel the anger. It happens, but you don't have to let it turn to sin. Instead, you recognize that and you fight back for reconciliation. How do I remove the hostility? In fact, Paul says, don't even let the hostility remain for a day. Not even for a day. Instead, he tells us, the better way is it goes on in verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all, hear this, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. All of that kind of speak, all of that kind of letting yourself rage or anger and be this kind of a person, let all of that be put away from you, along with all malice. Instead, fight for this. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Demonstrate the way God was with you, with everyone around you. That is the life of a person on mission. That's what we can get distracted from when we get into our anger. Listen to what James says, because I think it's such a great reminder. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So instead, how do we handle the moments? Like a person of peace, be quick to listen. Instead of quick to speak, quick to throw your hat in the ring, quick to let everybody know your perspective on what you're seeing in the news, your perspective on this or that or whatever else, or fixing everybody's perspective. Instead of being quick to speak, this is where we get it wrong. I'm telling you right now, this is where the church can get it wrong. We're so quick to speak instead of being quick to listen. See, when we're quick to listen and ask questions, we get sensitized. This is where we get to bring the tender heart into the conversation to understand, to hear, and to learn, to see the perspectives, to find the good, and to discover what it is we're fighting for. Not what we're fighting against, but what we're fighting for. In everything we fight against, it's a slippery slope, because then everybody has lots of things they're against. But when we learn the speak of what we're fighting for and we just live there, what are we all fighting for? That's when we can bring voices together. That's the common ground that people can discover. What are we fighting for? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The goal is removing hostility. If we're projecting hostility into the conversation, if we're adding hostility into the conversation and not removing hostility from the conversation, then we're off mission. It's not about being right. It's about being reconciled, bringing people together. And lastly, reconcile the relationship. Obviously, here in verse 8, Zacchaeus, probably now in his home, stands and says, "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came," don't forget, "to seek and to save the lost." He did not come to wag his finger in the face of all the lost people in the world today and tell them, "You're so wrong for feeling that way. You're so wrong for doing that way. You're so wrong for living like that. You shouldn't, you shouldn't, you shouldn't." In fact, he even said this, "For the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." It is so easy for us to simply admit we are all a hot mess. Our world is a hot mess. Mankind, humanity, has so much blood on our hands. We have nothing to say. We are not innocent. None of us are innocent. None of us are righteous. None of us have lived, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." None of us have lived that kind of selfless love our whole lives. If we got what we deserved, we would deserve tremendous judgment. And that judgment is coming against all sin in the world. But Jesus came to save us from all of that. His message and his mission was a rescue mission, not a mission of judgment. He came to rebuild a bridge, to restore a relationship, to reconcile us, to remove the hostility between my offense and my holy God. The blood on my hands and my holy God. And he came to remove the hostility between us by race or gender or economics or politics and bring us all into one awesome, beautiful, giant family. That is what he came to do. That's the message of reconciliation. That's our message. That's the message of the church. So are you living on mission today? Are you living on mission everywhere that you go? Remember the mission. Don't forget the mission. Remove the hostility. Be a voice that takes hostility out of the conversations. See this picture of you passing through, recognizing everywhere I go, I'm passing through, and my eyes are open. There are Zacchaeuses all around me who are looking to know God, and I'm here to represent and remove the barriers between them and God and build that relationship. Three things we can do to advance the kingdom in every season, in any season. One, build a new relationship. That's how the kingdom advances. Build a new one. Somebody you don't know, build a relationship with them. Build a bridge. Two, repair a broken relationship. One that is hurting, one that is fractured. reach back across, reconcile, remove the hostility. 3, take a good relationship, make it stronger. Invest in those life-giving relationships in your life. Be a good friend, make it stronger. When we do those 3 things, we are advancing the kingdom of God in this world. God is able to move into people's hearts and bring them into relationship with Him through you and me. Living missionally everywhere could not be more practical, could not be more needed than right now. I want to pray with you. Some of you hearing this message today may have wondered how you can have a relationship with God. You might be like Zacchaeus. I've heard about him. I heard stories about him. In fact, there's stories all written here, who Jesus is, what he said, what he taught. God in the flesh ever wanted to understand who this invisible creator of the universe was, what he's all about, how he sees things. Listen, you may have had tons of bad examples in your life, but you want to come right here to Scripture, come to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at him, learn from him, hear him. Like this story, all the way through, God came to save. Jesus came to save sinners like me, like all of us. He came to bring us out of the judgment that is coming against all of the evil done in our world today, and to bring us into a family of every tongue, tribe, nation, every people group, every kind. It'll be a beautiful picture. This is our story. And if you want to receive Jesus, then I'm just going to ask you, maybe if you're with somebody right now, ask him to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just repeat after me. And then after I'm done praying, we'll have some questions that will come up on the screen for you guys to discuss as a family as well. But if you want to receive Jesus, bow your heads with me and let's pray together. Just repeat this. Dear Jesus, I hear that you came for me. You came to seek and save the lost. And I admit that I'm one who was lost. I don't know you, and I want to know who you are. I want to receive you into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. I need you to forgive me of my sins. Now, would you come? And would you show me who you are? Teach me your ways. And lead me into everlasting life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.